Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/AC to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. You have a finite amount of resources to use in doing your work. And these finite resources include your focus, which is how you allocate your finite attention, how you define problems, how you spend that attention trying to solve those problems, and how you prioritize the problems, right? This is how we determine how we allocate our focus. And we have finite attention. I know we don't think we do. I know we love to think we can multitask, but we can't. We have finite attention to spend on behalf of the problems that matter to us. Our assets, these are physical resources, relational resources. These are really any resources that we spend on behalf of the problem. We have finite resources. Time is the currency of productivity. How we spend our time determines our success or failure, but we have a finite and ever dwindling amount of time to spend on doing the things that matter to us. And then finally, energy. Energy is about how we manage our ability to bring what Lewis Hyde calls emotional labor to our work, the ability to really put ourselves fully into our work on a daily basis. And, you know, we can have all the time in the world, but if we stack meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after obligation, then we get to the end of our day, we have nothing left to spend, nothing left to give. It doesn't matter if we're physically present, we're not going to be emotionally, mentally present, and we're not going to be able to produce great work. So how do we manage those resources effectively? And I think a bigger question is the one I want to address today is how do we manage other people's resources when we're responsible for leading them? I want to share with you today some principles from my book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, about how we protect the resources of the people on the team that we lead. Now, listen, not all of us lead teams. I know that. Many of us right now who are listening think, well, this doesn't apply to me, but it does. First of all, you probably aspire to leadership. You probably at some point want to be in a position where you have other people that you are leading responsible for that, you know, that report to you in some capacity. So these are important principles to understand. Secondly, these principles we're going to talk about today will give you touch points with your manager, but ways for you to enter into a conversation with them about how you're not getting what you need. If you have some language you can use, it will help you articulate why you feel the way you do when you're not getting the kinds of resources you need, when you don't have the focus you need, when things are constantly shifting. So we're going to talk about a handful of principles from Herding Tigers today to help you protect your team's resources. Before we jump in, a couple of things. First of all, I have a daily show. It's called The Daily Creative. You can check it out anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just do a search for Daily Creative with Todd Henry. It's a quick 2 to 5 minute tip, idea, principle, something that's immediately practical, something that you can do today. And during the month of April, we've been answering listener questions. So these are all episodes that are relevant to what the community is asking for. And also there's a back catalog of, I don't know, like 100 plus episodes now at this point. So you can go check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, it's called The Daily Creative with Todd Henry. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Don't we all need that? They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. It's essentially a writing assistant that makes you look and sound smarter. You can easily improve yourself, your communication at school, at work, almost anywhere with Grammarly. And listen, you want to present your best self when you write. Writing is such a critical form of communication today, and how well you write often will determine whether people hire you, whether they, you know, think highly of you, whether they think that you're an intelligent person, right? Your writing reflects all of that, and Grammarly will help you do so. Grammarly is available on multiple browsers, so you can install it on Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, multiple platforms, iOS, Android, Windows, Mac. So anywhere that you go, anywhere that you work, Grammarly can be your secret weapon. And I will tell you, I've written 4 books. I've written, hundreds of blog posts over time. I've written a ton over the course of my, I like to consider myself a professional writer. I am a professional writer. And yet Grammarly routinely captures grammatical errors that I am making, things that I'm not even aware I'm doing, and helps me to correct them. So you can accomplish your goals with the help of Grammarly. So here's the deal. You can get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. All you have to do is go to grammarly.com/AC. That's grammarly.com/AC for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. We thank Grammarly for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, so I'm going to read to you from a section of my book, Herding Tigers, with some commentary. This is about protecting your team's finite resources. In the world of creative work, execution is king. A brilliant idea is worthless if you aren't able to make it happen. Most of your team's ideas will be executed in the form of projects, and leading the charge means establishing the strategy, ensuring there are clear expectations, and making certain that your team has the resources it needs in order to do its best work. However, perhaps the most important role that you play is to be decisive at the exact moment your team needs you to be. Your team needs you to be very clear about what you expect from it and when, and the team members need you to achieve buy-in from critical stakeholders so that there's no danger of scope creep, which is when expectations rise in the middle of a project, or buyer's remorse, which is when the stakeholders begin to second-guess their decisions and they ask to change the direction of a project after the work has already begun. Haven't we all been there? Isn't that frustrating? A lack of clear buy-in from stakeholders at critical moments is a common cause of frustration and burnout for creative teams, and it's a key reason why leaders lose trust. When expectations change on a whim throughout a project, the team eventually learns to just wait and see what happens before applying any kind of real effort. So Doug was a senior leader of a creative team, and he always dreaded midpoint conversations with his manager because his manager, especially after the weekend, would come in on Monday with an epiphany about a project that was already in process. So every time they met, he would layer some other request on the team. He'd say, hey, could we just do X, or please just have the team check into doing Y, right? And individually, these were kind of small requests, so he didn't really see the harm. The team, however, felt the weight of the aggregate requests over time, and Doug was not very good at setting boundaries. So the constantly changing scope often meant that the team was scrambling to meet the manager's requests right up until the project was due, which meant that establishing a predictable pace of work was nearly impossible. The team almost always felt like it was behind. As you navigate your team through a project, it's your job to set expectations both with your team and with your own managers and stakeholders. If you fail to do that, your team will pay the price and you will lose their trust. Clarity of expectations is so critical. So how do we begin to do this? First, you have to make a decision once and then move on. So some team members like to revisit every single choice that's made, especially if they disagree with the original decision. They continually share why their idea is better or why the current strategy is destined to fail, even after work has already begun on the project. You can't allow these conversations to happen, or they will undermine your team's confidence. Your job is to make tough calls, and to constantly revisit every single decision will waste focus and energy that should be spent delivering results. And by the way, this doesn't just apply to the people who report to you on your team. Beg, get on your knees if you need to. Beg your own leaders not to call decisions into question in front of your team once the work has begun. If they want to have those conversations in private, that's fine. They can have those conversations with you. But if your team feels like the strategy is being questioned constantly, it could cause them to lose trust in you. Now, I want to be clear when I say don't revisit decisions. I'm not talking about learning, iterating, those kinds of things. Of course, we're going to learn things. We're going to iterate. We're going to change our mind as we go because we learn things. I'm talking about when you change the direction, the strategy, simply because you have another idea or somebody else is trying to convince you to change your mind because they have a different idea. Just don't let that happen, okay? The second thing, clearly communicate the consequences of decisions to your stakeholders. So those making decisions should understand that resources and time are going to be allocated against those decisions, and that changing direction later, especially once you're in mid-project, will be extremely costly. It's as if a giant 3 foot wide steel door has closed behind you as you make a decision, and it's closed you off from other options. Of course, it's possible to go back through the door, right? But it's going to require a tremendous amount of effort. It's going to be costly. You're going to have to get out the blowtorch. So help your own leader understand that changing his or her mind later will mean that other work is going to be neglected, or that organizational resources will be wasted correcting a decision that wasn't fully thought through from the beginning. You have to communicate to your stakeholder, hey, we're making a decision now. I'm asking you for an opinion, for a decision. And understand that once you weigh in on this, once you make this decision, it's going to be really costly and difficult for us to go back and revisit this. So I really need you involved now. I really need you to make a decision with the full weight of your authority, and not just kind of say, oh, yeah, that sounds fine, and then in 2 days, change your mind, because that's going to kill my team. Also, never surprise people who have the ability to override your decisions. Okay, don't do that. Don't put your leader or your team in a situation where a simple lack of awareness of what you're doing leads to wasted effort and resources. Don't surprise people with something you're doing if they have the ability to pull the rug out from under you and completely disrupt your team. Okay, don't do that. So clearly communicate the consequences of decisions to the stakeholders when they're making those decisions. And then finally, reinforce your decisions with frequent touch points. So it's often the case that stakeholders lose touch with a project after a key decision is made and work begins, right? So they make a decision, you get their buy-in, they're fully bought in, and then they kind of go on and do their own thing, and they're not connected to the work anymore, right? Don't let them become so disconnected from the work that they lose touch with the reasoning behind the original decisions, some of which may have been made weeks or months ago, right? So people make a decision, it makes sense to them at the time, and then they move on, they do other stuff, and then they start thinking, wait a minute, why are we doing that over there? Why don't we change our mind? That doesn't make sense. Let's do something different, right? Because you haven't been keeping them connected with the original decision and the reasoning behind that. It's not uncommon for people to get cold feet, especially if the direction that was chosen is a little bit risky. So you have to remind them of why the decision was made and why it's still the right decision. It's your job as a leader to stay connected to those stakeholders and to make sure that you are constantly reminding them, hey, by the way, we're working on this. And remember, here's why we made this decision. I just want to make sure that you're still on board with us, that everything is still good, right? Constantly tie them back, remind them of why those decisions were made. Okay, so number one, just to revisit the 3 points. Number one, make sure that you do not allow people in your organization to constantly second guess decisions and introduce new ideas once the work has begun. Again, if you're learning, if you're iterating, if you're changing your mind because there's some new information or something didn't work, you tried something, that's very different. Teams can tolerate that. Professionals, mature professionals can tolerate that. It's the wavering because we didn't really fully think this through and now we're just changing our mind because we're getting cold feet. That's when people get frustrated. Do not allow that to happen, right? Secondly, make absolutely certain that you are getting buy-in from your stakeholders throughout the process and beg them not to question ideas, directions in front of your team, right? But get buy-in at strategic moments in the process to make certain that they are on board with what you're doing. And then finally, make sure that you reinforce those decisions with frequent touch points. Make sure that you're constantly reminding both your team and the stakeholders, hey, here's why we made this decision. Just wanted to make sure everybody still understands. Here's why this decision was made. Here's why we're executing the way we are. Here's why we're moving in this direction with this client, right? Make sure that people understand that with frequent touch points. People lose track. People are busy. They're distracted. Their minds go elsewhere, right? And sometimes they get cold feet or they lose the storyline. So it's your job to make sure that they're connected. Now, if you're not getting these things from your manager, I encourage you to have a conversation with them. If you feel like the decisions are constantly questioned midstream, well, have a conversation with your manager and say, hey, I don't know if you're aware this is happening, but it seems like often we start work on a project and then, you know, a couple weeks later, we completely change our mind for no apparent reason whatsoever. And it's very frustrating because we all make you know, a lot of effort to get this project underway, and then it feels like all of that is wasted effort. So if you feel like there's not buy-in or that people are swooping in and making decisions, talk to your manager about it and say, hey, it seems like, you know, so-and-so is always coming in and changing things without having a conversation with us. Maybe it's that they haven't really felt permission to weigh in early in the project. And so they're coming in later and they aren't bought into what we're doing. So can you, is there a way that we can bring them into the project earlier? Right. That's the second thing. And then finally, make absolutely certain that you are connected to the storyline, that you understand the why, that you are deeply rooted in some kind of a through line that causes the work to make sense. All right. Again, all of this is from my book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need. I hope you found it helpful. Would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. Please reach out to me there or join the conversation in the collective at collective.accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time. Get in the game, 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 get in the